We're here in Hilchos Pesach Siman Tof Nun, and we're on the bottom of page 70, on the top of page 71, or the equivalent of Lamed Vav. And what we saw here is the Mishnah Berurah number Yud Zayin. Let's take a look at Yud Ches, and what we're talking about is a situation in which you tell your servant, take this dinar, go ahead and buy food. You don't tell him explicitly to buy chametz. And yesh matirim gam bazeh, some will say that if you give this worker money, even though you know he's going to buy chametz with it, that's okay. However, there's a controversy about the following less clear, more ambiguous case, and that's where he says, go and eat and I'll pay the bill. So he, as we said yesterday, he goes to the Italian pizzeria and the pizzeria is going to collect the money from the Jew who is paying mizonos and supporting this non-Jewish worker. And the Mishnah Berurah takes it a step further. He says, according to this opinion, yesh matirim gam bazeh, even if he says to the chenvani, tein lapoali chametz vani poreah, even though he instructs the pizzeria to give food to the poel, knowing full well that that's chametz. However, he says, although that's allowed, le'inyon tinok shenochutz alecho lishtos chametz, in a case where the child has to eat chametz, sarach lisa oso lebeis nochri, he has to carry him to the house of a non-Jew. Now the question is, why isn't that a violation of hanah from chametz? Yizar shelo yikcho biyado dezochabo, because it goes directly from the guy into the mouth of the child, and there's never ownership on behalf of the Jew. If the guy wants to be paid for this service, the Jew is allowed to guarantee that he'll pay for this. That should be okay. Avalo yitein lo mos kodem, o b'shosh enosin lo lechol. He shouldn't give the money up front, because then at that point, if he's giving the money for chametz, he owns the chametz through a kinyan mos, through a kinyan domim. Or b'shosh enosin lo lechol, not to pay him at the moment that he's giving, the guy is giving the chametz to the child. The koni chametz is also l'kliyam. Then everyone will agree it's also. V'im e'efshalo l'seso l'chutz. Let's say the child is such that is too sensitive, too young and immature, you cannot carry the child. The guy is going to feed this child in the house of the Jew. He should be makpid to instruct the guy that any leftover chametz should be taken out of the house of the Jew and brought back to his own house. And the next time the child needs to eat, he should try to bring the child, if possible, to the guy, or if not, the guy will come by a second time. If he can't find the guy for each time, there's no way of bringing the guy out a second time. The guy's not going to make a house visit time after time. Leave over some chametz biyomer beferush, but he should make an absolute, explicit declaration. Sheino rotza liknos, the Jews should declare, I don't want to have any ownership over the chametz. Now again, Rav Soloveitchik, in his interpretation of Rashi, he assumed that it says shalchay ataroa, and the Chazal say ataroa shal achirim, which means shal akum. That's only if the guy comes in with his chametz on his own initiative, but you are enjoined from inviting the guy into your house with chametz. So this is a very interesting case, which I think according to that interpretation of Rashi would be prohibited. Fine. Now again, in all cases, we don't want the Yisrael to come in direct contact with the chametz. If somebody has to feed the child, he should ask a katan to feed the child, but he himself should not feed the child, because chatchil, you're not allowed to touch the chametz, and furthermore, there might be an issue of kinyan here as soon as the Jew touches the chametz in order to feed the child. Im yochol lahat min hachametz v'makom shemunach chemtzo hamachur, if he has a certain closet which he designated and singled out for the mechiras chametz to a guy, the best thing we do is, if there's chametz that has to be eaten by the child, it should be added to that closet. Yatmino sham v'isatinuk l'sham lechol. So let's say, for example, if he has a room that was designated to be sold, or at least all the chametz therein will be sold to a guy, that's where this chametz should be kept, and that's where the child should be fed. Imlo yasa mechitza asar b'fnei chametz. In other words, even if the chametz belongs to the guy, and that's permissible, but nevertheless, you do have to set up a mechitza, and the chametz has to be behind a mechitza which is 10 tefachim high. And that's because the Shevi Yom Liyachla, we don't want to leave chametz around in the house of a Jew, even if there's no violation of Bal Yerobei Yimotze. Fine, I'll call upon him, Yichbe Olav Kli, should cover over the chametz with a Kli. V'chol zeh, im ein atinok misukon lezeh. In other words, if it's not a case of a child who is dangerously ill and it's a life-threatening situation, to be yesh sakana in a life-threatening situation, ein tzorach l'dagdik b'chol zeh, kidei lamar b'achiloso. Don't start making all these calculations and all these if, ands, and buts and conditions. Just feed the child as soon as possible. That's the way we deal with a chola sheyesh bo sakana. Now, even though we said that according to the Yesh Matirim, which is the Sheet of the Mordechai, you're allowed to tell the Italian pizzeria to feed the worker, the non-Jewish worker, of chametz, but Ellen Cain, there's one situation which is certainly prohibited, hikdim dinar. If the Jew paid the pizzeria up front, let's look at the Mishnah Bura, number Yutes. And we are on page 2071. If he paid up front and he said, my servant is going to come by to eat, feed him based on this money that I gave you now. As we discussed yesterday, this means that the guy who owns the pizzeria is now the shliach of the Israel to feed Eved Akum. And if that be the case, he's being mistaker b'isurei hano. Elam kein hiktim lo dino, we said that that's asur. Afilu eni yodeh bevadeh sheyikneh chametz. In other words, there is a possibility that there's other food in the pizzeria that's not chametz, but nevertheless, the assumption is he's going to feed him chametz. Now he quotes Yerodeah Shekosav behikdim lo dinar enu osur elim kek sheyomo lo yehei dinar zeviyotcha ad shetitein lahapoel shali. In other words, the Easter is not applicable if he gives the money over to the pizzeria with a carte blanche, feed my, that's not prohibited. But what's problematic is when he says, hold on to this dinar, and only when you feed the poel, then you can take the dinar and pocket it. If you just give the money over to the pizzeria and you with a carte blanche, you say, imshol lasa lahotzi achshav botsa, use the money when you and how you see fit, that's okay. Because then, when he feeds the poel, there is no dinar available sheyikne lebalabais, that he should be now, the balabais is considered the owner of the dinar. If the dinar still exists, that's problematic. That in all cases that you give money over to the non-Jew who owns this restaurant or this pizza shop, and you tell him, you instruct him to feed my Eved on Pesach, that's also. Vida, the hiktim lo dinar lav dafka du adinim nasa lo dinar b'shosh nasan achinvani chometz li avdo gam kenos. It doesn't mean necessarily that it's also because he gave the money up front before the chinvani fed the Eved, but even if he gives it at the moment that the chinvani feeds the Eved, that's also also. So the only example that it's mutter is when the Jew at some later point is going to pay up for the service that's being offered by the owner of the restaurant, the proprietor, or the owner of the pizza shop who's feeding his Eved. Now, what do these words mean in the Mechaber? The last four words in the Mechaber in Sif Vav, when he says Oshenasa v'Nasan v'Yodo. If you take a look at the Mishnah Berurah number Chav, Ratzolomer Shebal Abayis bi'atzmo loka chachomitz min achanvoni al'akum litzorach avdo nesonel v'zeh afiu lo nasan l'mos klal osur dekona chomitz v'shichos min akum. It's absolutely forbidden for the Baal Abayis to take the chomitz and feed the Eved, because at the moment he takes the chometz from the balabayit, from the owner of the pizzeria, at that moment he makes a kinyan with Mashicha from the owner of the pizzeria on pizza. That's outright forbidden on Pesach. The Ramah on the top line also liknos lechametz li'ani Yehudi bePesach afil b'ma'osav. Suppose a guy gives you mos and he asks you to go buy chametz on his behalf. That's absolutely forbidden. And the reason for that, says the Mishnah Berurah Chaf Aleph, the ikal lemechash shema yochal mimenu. That if the Yisrael is going to buy chametz, he might come to eat the chametz. V'od to rotsa b'kumo shalach chametz. In this case, he really wants the chametz to exist because he's being paid to feed another guy with that chametz. And even though the money is coming from a guy and the chametz is going to a guy, but nevertheless, the Jew is holding on to the chametz, and this is the case of rotsa b'kumo. So this really reflects the Shita of the Ramban that we once discussed at great length, namely that for on Chomet Shal Hefker you might be Chayev even though you don't have ownership over it because you're Rotsa B'Kiyumo. So there's no precondition of ownership in order to violate Bal Yerobayim Matz if you own. And furthermore, to Ein Shlichus Liakov. In other words, even though it looks like shlichus, the guy is appointing you to offer the service to buy chametz for another guy with his money. Nevertheless, Hayisrael konos on the over value rot. There's no shlichus to a guy, so that when the guy gives you the money to buy chametz, he's giving it to you as a hakna, and you now acquire ownership over the money and therefore over the chametz. Even though the Jew here is not doing a meshicha, taking it from the reshus of the mocher into his own reshus, but nevertheless, once he pays domim to the mocher, that when you're buying an object which is a movable object from a guy, and all you're doing is giving kesef, that moment that you gave the kesef to pay for it, you have made an absolute kinyan because it's coming from a guy. If it's coming from Yisrael, you need a kinyan mashiach or a shuso. But in the case of a guy buying from a guy, according to one school of thought in the Rishonim, you could be konim from a guy with kinyan kesef even without mashiach. So this is forbidden even though the mos belong to the guy. With regard to the status of this chametz that he purchased with the money of the guy after Pesach, is it called chametz shavu lo pesach? We can rely on the fact that he, the Jew, did not have kavana to be Kona the Chametz. He never accepted responsibility on the chametz, and therefore it's not considered the ownership of the Yisrael, and it doesn't generate an iser of chametz shavu l'Pesach. Can't call it prima gun. Shall any Yehudi, the money is owned by a guy, v'chein osu lomo li'akum v'cholomoy Pesach sheyikne chametz b'shmilo. He cannot instruct a guy to buy chametz on his behalf on Pesach. Afilo yimshech chametz l'toch beiso shel Yisrael, even if the Jew has not yet acquired ownership through the kinyan of Mashiach, he's just asked the guy to buy chametz on his behalf, which after Pesach he'll acquire, he'll make a kinyan on it. Is that it? That in itself is also the yesh poskim shesovrim, the yesh lichus biakim lechumra. Now we do have to assume we do have to validate the shlichus of a guy lechumra, and therefore the guy here is operating as a shliach on behalf of the Jew. So you're telling the guy to buy chametz on your behalf. He's really representing you. He's your agent, and you're buying the chametz. But b'di'eved, if you did such a thing, if there was never an actual mashicha, ain less or liachar pesach, we're not going to apply the iser of chametz shalva pesach. Kosava prima god, the akum shekona me akum tfuah sheyesh betoch k'tas chamutzim, shari liyisrael liyos sarsur beinehem. Can the Yisrael be an agent on behalf of one akum to purchase chametz from another akum? Ki lo bi'ada chamutzim inosin domen. Only in this case it's mutter, because the Yisrael is not being paid to purchase chametz, but rather he's being paid to purchase wheat or grain. Inside the grain there may be some kernels of grain that are already fermented and they are chametz. Ki lo bi'ada chamutzim unosin domen. He's not getting paid for the chametz, he's getting paid for the tvua. Im hoysa be'im as'akum tu'una chametz. Let's say the animal of a guy is carrying chametz, and now the animal is suffering from this burden. The Jew would like to be mekayim the mitzvah of prika, of tzar bali chayim, and alleviate the suffering of the animal. But the problem is, there's chametz on the back of the animal. He says, the af deha akum machzik lo tova vurzeh, even though he's going to benefit from it, the Jew, because the guy owes him a favor, and that's called rotzik de kiyumo, nevertheless, it's mutter. Why? Keva di eina Yisrael, here we're on the top of page 72 in the Mishnah Berurah, eina Yisrael mechaven sheyachzik lo tova. The Jew is motivated by Tzar Bali Chaim. He's not motivated by the guy owing him any favor. And therefore, it's not considered that he's benefiting from the chametz. He's really just trying to alleviate the beast of burden of its suffering. And if inadvertently, as a byproduct, the guy will owe him a debt of gratitude, that's not a violation of the Isra of chametz. We're up to the Mechaber and Siv Zayin. Osur lahaskir kli li'eno Yehudi v'pesach kadesh yivashel bo chametz. Am I allowed to rent out a kli bishul, some vessel that's used for cooking, knowing full well that the guy on Pesach is going to cook chametz in that kli? Am I considered a mistaker be'isurei hanah? Now logically one would argue that in this case all he's renting out is a kli. He's not renting out chametz. He's not being paid rental fee for chametz. So he's not mistaker be'isurei hanah. And yet the Mishnah Berurah explains that this is awesome. Take a look in the Mishnah Berurah number Chav Gimel. And he says the following: shall any Yehudi, the Mechaber is very machmir here on the top of page 72 in the case where you want to rent a guy, a utensil that's used for cooking, when you know up front that he's going to use that utensil for cooking chametz. So if you take a look at the Mishnah Berurah number Chaf Dalid, he says, "Kidei shivashal bo chametz." Don't rent out, because you're going to get paid for the guy using your chametz to bake or cook chametz. Mishum du rotze bekiyumo shel chametz. Because in this case, the Yisrael who's renting out his pot is very eager that the chametz be alive and well. Why? Shiv yishafech hachametz b'shar shakli omer al gabi ha'esh. If the chametz will fall and spill onto the floor while the kli is boiling on the esh, yibaka hakli. Something is going to damage the kli. Varehu kinena min hachametz. So this is an unbelievable reality. Again, it doesn't belong so much to our contemporary reality, but apparently back in the day, if you have a kli on the fire and there's nothing inside the kli, which means that the contents of the kli spilled, then the fire is going to damage the kli.
Right.
I'm not sure if that's so true in our contemporary world. We have heavy metal kalim.
Well, yeah, no, I can see if the pot was empty. And it was on the fire, then it would.
Right. In a paradoxical sense, the existence of the chametz, the continued existence of the chametz, is beneficial. So that the owner of the kli doesn't lose his kli, it won't crack.
Yeah. Interesting.
Then the Mechaber says on top of al maskilo chamor lohaviel of chametz. The chamor is not going to be damaged if the chametz falls off the back of his chamor. So if I own a chamor, I can rent it out to John Paul Jones for the purpose of carrying chametz. I don't want that chametz to exist. I have no vested interest, or do I gain anything or benefit from the fact that the chametz continues to exist. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah says over here. You'd be interested in hearing this, I think. You might be interested in hearing this.
Okay.
Here's the question, Doc. Am I allowed to rent out and collect rental fees for something that the guy is renting something of mine and he's using it for chametz? So is that considered that I'm benefiting from the chametz? And the Mechaber in the Shulchan Aruch makes the following distinction. It depends if I'm renting him a what's called a kli bishul, meaning I'm renting him a pot and he's going to cook chametz in the pot, or am I renting him a chamor and he's going to put chametz on the chamor. He's using this beast of burden to transport chametz. In the first case it's asur because I have vested interest in the chametz being
in the pot.
What do you say? In the pot, meaning continue to exist. If the chametz gets lost, then the pot is an empty pot. An empty pot gets damaged if the chametz is lost. So Gershon, join us. We're just finishing up something here. However, in the case of the chamor, if let's say the chametz falls off the back of the animal, I don't lose anything by that. So for example, let's say I would rent a truck on Pesach to a guy, and he's going to use that truck to transport boxes and boxes of wheat that's chametz, let's say, of bread that's chametz. Let's say, for example, he owns a bakery, right, and he sells to various supermarkets, this John Paul Jones, and he's going to pay me a rental fee for my truck. Here, I couldn't care less whether that chametz exists or not. Even though I know full well up front that he's renting it to deliver bread on Pesach, but he's paying me a rental fee. If the chametz gets destroyed, I don't lose anything. The truck is not going to be damaged if the chametz dissipates. But in the case of a clay bishul, if the chametz goes down the tubes, then what's going to happen is the utensil is going to break. It's going to crack from the heat of the fire. So if you take a look in the Mishnah Berurah, he says the following. If I'm renting out my animal, and I give that as a mashal for a truck, then even if the chametz gets destroyed, I don't lose anything by that. There's no rotsa b'kiyumo. The key of keys in chametz, and I say this because, you know, Shloshim Yom Kodem L'Chag, you have to start learning the laws of Pesach. So the key of keys in violating the Hanah of chametz is, would I want this chametz, do I want this chametz to continue to exist? And therefore, I have vested interest in the existence of the chametz. That's called rotze b'kiyumo. Have you heard of that phrase, rotze b'kiyumo?
Right.
No? Rotze b'kiyumo means I vested interest that the chametz should exist. Now, the chiddush here is that even though I don't own this chametz, it's the guy's who owns the chametz. Nevertheless, if I have vested interest that the chametz of the guy should exist, because I'm going to take a personal loss if that chametz dissipates, that's considered as if I benefited from the chametz.
That's as if it's using the truck only for the chametz. And therefore, if the chametz gets off, you won't rent your truck. So you want this.
That's an interesting question. He's assuming that the rental agreement was signed and sealed, and it's being rented for...
If you know that he's renting it because of the chametz, and you're scared that he's going to lose the chametz and he won't rent it, then you go.
That's irrelevant. I'll tell you why, Doc. Because he's going to have to pay me the rental fee no matter what happens to the chametz. You're raising an interesting point. How can the Mishnah Berurah say, I don't care whether or not the chametz exists, when the rental fee is being paid to transport chametz? So the answer is, we've already signed and sealed that agreement. If he loses his chametz, that's his headache, he still has to pay me the rental fee. So I have no vested interest in the chametz's continued perpetuity, you know, if it's continued existence.
That's the difference between a neder and
a nedar. And a neder is harei alai, and a nedar is harei zu.
Yes.
And if you say harei zu...
So if you make a contract in harei zu, in other words, it's... That the contract depends on the fact that you've got...
That the guy could back out of the deal and get his money back if the chametz is lost. But that's not the case we're talking about. We're talking about a case where this guy... Right, this is like harei alai in the sense that the guy is going to have to pay no matter what. It's his headache to take care of the chametz.
He's rented the truck, he paid the money.
Everything is signed and sealed. Right, that's his headache. You know. But if I rent him a pot for cooking, and I know that he's going to cook chametz, I want that chametz to exist, because if the chametz falls out, let's say it spills, then the heat of the fire is going to destroy my pot. Maybe back in the day it was more common. That's how I was discussing with Jeff. You know, it could be an out reality. If you put a pot that's made of metal on a fire and there's nothing inside the pot, I'm not sure. Even then, I think the pot gets black on the bottom. It does get down.
The pot would be ruined. In fact, today, if you put a pot and there's nothing in it, it's going to damage it. More beyond just
probably in most cases, but you know, it happened to me. I fell asleep while something was cooking, and the raviolis were this thick, became a crust on the bottom of the pot, you know, interior bottom of the pot. But I said, "Well, scrape it out and use it again."
So maybe in that case, you're not rotsa b'kiyuma. Remember, the key of keys is: do you want the chametz to exist? Right. So listen to the Mishnah Berurah's question.
You also, don't cook when you're tired.
Kasha, he says, I don't understand. Delay oser bein bekli bein bechamar. I have a logical reason why it should be oser to rent out even a donkey, where if the burden of chametz falls off the back of the donkey is not going to collapse. I don't know, you're making it even lighter.
Right.
Mishum mistakir b'isuri hanoah. There's another law in isur hanoah that has nothing to do with rotsa b'kiyumo, and it applies to anything that's forbidden for benefit. You are not allowed to get paid for an object which is osur b'no, like orlo, klai akerim, in this case, chametz for Pesach. He's paying you because he wants to use your chamar to transport his chametz. And that's osur. He says, ledin... Who the high sheet of the ain isul staka bisura no rakba vodazora. The only way we can understand this heter of the mechaber, as far as the chamor is concerned, is only if you assume that this law that you're not allowed to rent out something and get money for it if it's osur b'no only applies to avodazora. You know that the halach is very strict with regard to avodazora. The Torah says lo yidbak biyadcha me'uma min acherim. You're not allowed to get any benefit from it. And here you're getting benefit from Isurei Anah, but it's only in Avodah Zarah, and therefore in Chometz we don't have this prohibition. Okay, then I just thought we'd finish up with that. I'm just going to make a note of where we got to, because I teach Mishnah Berurah here on a daily basis. We're learning Hilchas Pesach. So I wanted to make sure that we got to this. Okay, Rabosai. This Shabbos, as you know, is Parshas Tzav. But it also is Purim. Now, what do I mean that this Shabbos is Purim? We here in Yerushalayim, we have Purim on Friday. Correct? Because we are a city that was walled at the time of Yoshua ben Nun. So we have the same status as Shushan. That's why we call it Shushan Purim. So I don't know if there's anyone here who's heard Megillah reading yet. I haven't heard it yet.
I heard it last night.
Oh, you heard it last night. Oh. Did you sleep over in Petah Tikva?
No.
Oh, that's good. Because had you slept over in Petah Tikva, you'd have to hear it again today. So we don't have the chiyuv of hearing the Megillah. And that's because our Purim is tomorrow. But there's something called Poreis Mapa Umekadesh. Are you familiar with that?
Poreis
Mapa Umekadesh. I'll write it down here on the board.
Spreads tablecloth and...
Poreis Mapa Umekadesh. What that means is that I can start a meal on Erev Shabbos, continue that meal into Shabbos, and in order to make Kiddush, all I have to do is I have to cover over the bread. So let's say, for example, I need Lechem Mishnah for the mitzvah of Suda Shabbos, and what I do is I cover over the Lechem Mishnah with a mapa. Mapa is a cloth. And then I recite Kiddush, and I continue my meal. So it turns out that tomorrow night, this is what, you know, you can, if you're in Harno, please drop by and you'll see this with your own eyes. What we're going to do is we're going to start our meal, let's say at 4 p.m., 5 p.m., way before Shabbos.
So it's still Purim.
And it's still Purim. So that Suda is the Suda's Purim. Now it gets dark, and I have to make Kiddush, because on Shabbos I have to make Kiddush. So what I can do is, Poreis Mapa Umekadesh, and I'm going to recite Kiddush after I cover the bread.
And that's your Sudat Mitzvah, so you don't have to have it early in the morning. Right.
The only issue is, will I recite Allah Nisa? Now, let me explain. When I finish the meal, which is again, now it's a Shabbos meal, because I recited Kiddush, and Kiddush Mokum Suda, the Kiddush sets up a Shabbos meal. Now, my meal is both a continuation of my Suda's Purim, and it's at the same time as Suda's Shabbos. Now, some poskim say, in that case, in Birkas HaMazon, you're going to recite both Ritzei and Allah Nisa. And that's an unbelievable, this is called, in modern Hebrew, this is called Harkava. Are you familiar with the word Harkava?
Harkiv.
It's like a piggyback. When you put one thing on top of the other. So I start with the Sudas Purim, and then I'm Markiv on top of this entity called Sudas Purim, a Sudas Shabbos. So if I ask you, is this Shabbos Purim? Then technically, it's not Purim, because it's the 16th of Adar, but yet it could be Purim if you do Poreis Mapa Umekadesh, and you're going to recite Al Nisim as if it were Purim, and at the same time, it's Shabbos, and you're going to recite Ritzei.
Because you do that on a regular Purim. You ever put on your Suda right in the afternoon, and you carry on into the night.
But it's just a winter.
Yeah, I think it could only happen in Yerushalayim. I don't think it's possible on a regular Purim.
In a regular Purim, b'chutz la'aretz.
Oh, sure, next year.
When you have your Suda right in the afternoon, you can carry on into the night.
Is there Purim on Friday in chutz la'aretz?
I'm not talking about Friday. I'm talking about Friday.
India. Okay, so it's Thursday.
Basically, you could just say it comes out on a Wednesday, and then Thursday is also Purim, like we're talking. It's already in
right.
Four.
But then you're not going to recite Ritzei. My
you
problem.
Because
the fact that it goes from Wednesday into Thursday, that doesn't upset the status of the Suda as a Suda's Purim. But if it goes from Friday into Shabbos, and now I'm going to establish my, through Poreis Mapa Umekadesh, through my Kiddush, I'm going to change and transform the Suda into the Suda Shabbos. So again, from Wednesday to Thursday, I don't have a problem.
But if you're really going to say Al Nisim at night, I know what you said.
If also I have a suda that overlapped on Wednesday and Thursday.
Shabbos, you say it in line two.
No, because on Shabbos I have a serious problem, because since I'm reciting Ritzay, and so far as it's a suda Shabbos, how can you call it a suda Purim? Is it the 15th of Adar or is it the 16th of Adar?
It's the same thing when Shabbos goes out and you're making a late.
But again, that's only because the Saturday night Seudah is not a contradiction to the Saturday Seudah.
You can extend it.
Right. So I don't mind if you say Ritzay, it's already a Seudah Shabbos, but if you're entering into a different Seudah, in this case, you're going from a Seudah Purim to a Seudah Shabbos. That's a problem. I'll give you an example. Rosh Chodesh.
Go ahead. I was going to say, if Rosh Chodesh is on Yom Rishon,
right,
and your Suda Shlishi goes into
Motzei Shabbos,
do you say both?
Correct. You're not going to say Yalav Yom. Why?
You'd rather not eat at that time.
Right. Exactly. To avoid this problem. But if let's say you continued your meal into Rosh Chodesh, what are you going to do? Are you going to say Ritzay? Well, you have to say Ritzay because it's a Suda Shabbos. On the other hand, are you going to say Yalav Yom? Well, you don't want to say Yalav Yom because that would mean it's a Suda Sunday of Rosh Chodesh. But on the other hand, if you don't say Yalav Yom, how could you on Rosh Chodesh itself, how could you omit Yalav Yom? So let's assume, again, this is going to be a great controversy in the postkin, but I'm just presenting one school of thought. And one school of thought in the postkin would maintain that in the same benching, you're going to recite both Al-Anisim and Ritzay. And it's both a Suda's Purim and a Suda Shabbos.
So,
even though they belong to two calendar dates.
Those same people would be happy for you to say Yalav Yom.
Correct. And that's the same idea, consistent. The same idea, right.
What happens with davening, Rabbi? Do we take a break during the meal to daven and come back to the same meal?
Yes, that's what you have to do.
Right.
Yeah. We're going to take a break in the middle of the meal. And again, we're going to sing Kalbach and everything else, but you got to make sure that you don't pass 72 minutes in this case, because you want to continue your Su'udah. And all this is called Pores Mapa Mekadesh. So again, if you want to see it, you're invited to Sholzen number 16.
We're doing it also.
Yeah, you're doing it also. Okay, so you can see, you're much closer. You don't have to go all the way.
You have to start your meal after Plagamicha. Or is it Plagamicha not part of it?
I don't know if we have to start after Plagamicha. Why? You mean to say because of Suda's Purim? You have to start a late Suda? Mm-hmm. I don't think so. I think you could eat a Suda's Purim any time during the day. Not at night. At night, let's say tonight, for example, if we're holding Shushan Purim, that Suda, it might be recommended, that Suda, but it would not fulfill your mitzvah of Suda. You'd still have to eat a Suda with daybreak. But I'm not sure that you have to start a Suda late in the afternoon. On the contrary, if you would ask me, the earlier you start, the better. Like here, they're starting, I think, at 11:30, because the more time you give for the Suda, the better it is. You know that the Balei Chasidus say that at the Suda's Purim, you could ask for anything. Because in the Megillah, ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for anything. Because in the Megillah, it says that Chazal and the Medrash say that whenever it says, well, I shouldn't say whenever, but in certain cases, in certain rules and conditions, whenever it says Melech, it means the Melech Malchei HaMelachim. And in one particular pasuk, it says that when Esther came to Achashverosh, his response was, anything you ask for, you can give. So it says, no, well, that's the point.
One place where he didn't say yes.
Exactly. Yeah, were you with me, Gershon, when we discussed this? Yeah. The three times when Achashverosh responds to Esther, the first two times it says, Al Chatzi Amalchut. The third time he omits it, Achashverosh. So the Mepharshim say that the first two times were when Haman was still reigning in all his glory. And therefore, it was the time that Amalek was in power. When Amalek is in power, then the name of Hashem is split in half. It's Kiyon al Kes Kaf, you're familiar with that. So there's only a Yud Ke, and there's no Vav Ke, there's no Vesagel HaOretz. At that point, you can only ask for half. But after Haman was hung up on the tree, at that point, when she asked for, you know, the ability to bring back all the letters and so forth and so on, there it says that whatever you ask for, I will give you. And it doesn't say Ad Chatzi Amalchus. So the Bali Kabbalah, and this is very popular in the Hasidus, they say that on Purim, because we're celebrating the destruction of Amalek, and Haman, of course, is Mizar HaMolech. At that point, we can ask for anything. So the question I would ask you is, let's say, if you all like these poskim, that tomorrow night, even late at night, into Shabbos, we're going to still recite Al HaNisim, can we still be Mavakesh? Is it still Purim? So it could be, again, I'm just throwing out a suggestion, that Purim might extend and overlap into Shabbos.
Just when you ask this, it can be any time during the Suda.
What do you say?
It must be during the Suda that you ask for...
That's what they say. It's dafka during the Suda. Why? Because Simchas Purim is not like Simchas Yontif. Simchas Yontif overlaps and encompasses the entire 24 hours of Yontif. But in the case of Purim, the Simcha of Purim is pinpointed during certain moments of time. And the apex is the Mishtav Simcha at the time of the Suda. So all this was an introduction to what I want to discuss with you now, and that is, I want to talk to you a little bit about Purim. And even though I usually give a parsha shiur on Thursday at 10:45 or whatever, 10:40, whatever time it is, I thought that today, instead of a parsha shiur, we'd have a discussion about Purim, because this Shabbos might be Purim. Again, based on all that introduction.
Okay, let's give a piece of paper.